Sex.
Hey Scarlett, Mary Adele here. It's your friendly neighborhood sexuality educator, here to normalize conversations about sex and sexuality and make these conversations more joyful, liberating, and inclusive so we can all live more fulfilling, pleasurable lives. So yes, wild times we're in right now, Scarlett. I hope that you're able to find moments of peace, moments of care for yourself during these, you know, troubling, unsettling times. Thank you to all who are staying home. Thank you to all who have to work, who are working. Just know that you're in my thoughts and I'm thinking about you and I'm sending you good vibes. And I'm hoping today's episode can be a nice distraction. We've got uplifting information to share with you. That being said, let's get this episode started. So I have a really wonderful guest here today. I'm very excited she's here. She's a creator. She's a sorcerer of plant magic, a tea crafter and tea ceremony guide, a really loving, great friend, and the co-founder of Fruits to the Root. It's Lauren Dodge. I'm so happy to have you here, Lauren. Why don't you go ahead and jump in with an introduction of yourself?
Hello, Scarlett. Thank you so much for having me, Mary Adele. I'm excited to be here. A little bit about my background, Fruits to the Roots. I started that in 2011, and I started it by making soaps and tea blends for people that were in my life and for myself, and just to create a little pleasure and also add a little medicinal quality to the daily life. My initial sort of idea with soap was really about how I could introduce story and sensuality and playfulness into the everyday life through microdosing with medicinal plants through skincare products. I've tried to continue that and translate that into my current line, which is doing a lot of evolving and changing this year, and especially with kind of what's going on in the world, I'm curious to see what's going to happen. Going to be an interesting ride. But yeah, I love making things that really craft a moment and a story for people to express sort of that connectivity between nature and self, the universal sort of as above, so below.
It's beautiful. And I feel like we've seen a lot of, you know, as we've had to go into quarantine, people reconnecting with nature in a really big way. So I'm super excited to have this episode because we're hoping, Lauren and I, that we can give you, Scarlett, some kind of DIY recipe or, you know, just to connect with your backyard or a hike that you're going on, find a plant that you can connect to sensually in some way. Mm-hmm. Today's episode is very much about sensuality. We'll touch on sexuality, but sensuality, which obviously is connected to sexuality, is really the theme for today with plant magic and Lauren's expertise. So, oh, and just a quick note, Lauren and I met at Anamkara Apothecary in Frederick. We just met last year. We've already, though, hosted a workshop together that went really well. She's just a very wise spirit. So I know that you're going to get a lot out of today's episode with Lauren. So Lauren, I'm going to jump in with some questions. Within the scope of what you're comfortable with, do you mind telling us a little bit about your personal sexuality journey? So what has been significant to you as you've grown as a sexual being?
Sure. I grew up pretty sheltered when it came to discussing sexuality, to expressing your sexuality. It was kind of, when it was brought up, it was more in jest or jokingly, not so that it was comfortable. And from a very early age, I found myself exploring my sensual nature and trying to figure out what that meant. And at a certain point, it was really interesting because I was feeling guilty for expressing my body to myself, to the people around me. And it was, I mean, I grew up in an extremely conservative and religious space, and my mother was amazing. She was very loving and kind, so it had nothing to do with that. It was just that it was kind of put upon you that you were not going to be allowed to express yourself sexually. So it wasn't until I was in my late teens that I started feeling the freedom of what sensuality specifically could be. And I started expressing myself and feeling into those feelings through theater and really finding a way that I could play with those feelings I wasn't allowed to have as myself. And that brought me to story. That brought me to feeling into those sort of in-between spaces where you can learn something by diving into, well, now I dive into plants. And that kind of happened as in my late teens as well. I was lucky enough to be introduced to my now husband, who was in love with crafting teas. And he was working with an Aztec medicine man at the time on a film. And it just all sort of started rolling together and inspiring me to play and to explore what plants could connect me to and how they could teach me about my own sensuality. And it still amazes me every time that I brew a cup of tea, what it does to my body and how it makes my brain, that brain and body connection, how it improves it as well. So it's a journey I'm still on. But that's like my origin story, I suppose, in sensuality.
Well, Nate, you bring up such a good point that a lot of us are, you know, raised in these conservative kind of sheltered households or environments or whatever, where we can't even get like comprehensive information about our bodies and what they do, let alone allow space for this exploration and this curiosity about what our bodies, how they can talk to us.
Yeah.
So it's really, I feel like you found that magic really organically and, you know, almost younger, you know what I mean? Like teens, like not a lot of people get there in their teens, you know? Yeah. So that's just so cool.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, I'm still finding myself as a sensual and sexual being.
Yeah.
But I, the door definitely was opened to me very early, and I couldn't be more grateful for that. And to have people at that time that were supporting the door being opened and helping me find the path, that was really important as well. And I feel grateful every day.
And you know, another great point, like we're going to be discovering things about our sexuality and sensuality for life because it changes all the time, you know? And
yeah.
So it's important to remember that there's no end goal. Like we're all kind of working it out.
Isn't that amazing though? Because that is something that even in the last year, I feel like I've discovered is it's been a lot harder for me to get to that ecstatic place of pleasure. And then listening to you talk when we first met about sensuality and sexuality, I had this aha moment of you shouldn't be like running and jumping towards the place where you've always found that ecstasy. Mm-hmm. You should be present in this now moment, especially that's what for me in my experience with sexuality and sensuality, it's all about those little moments leading up to. And that really is more exciting for me as an energetic being, as a physical being, than that top ecstatic point.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like the more pleasure you can really dig into, like just noticing a color, which I know you do, like you notice magic all the time. Like that right there is part of, you know, that journey of just like being a sensual being in this world full of sensual stuff.
And sometimes it's overwhelming, which is also can be fun.
Yeah. Different kind of pleasure. Awesome. Okay. So thank you for sharing that. And now let's shift into plant talk. So, you know, one of the questions I had for you was, and come at this how you will, but how do plants and sexuality, you know, intersect? Like what have you found in your work that really points to that intersection?
I think that the biggest point of intersection to me is really in brain chemistry. The way that our brains sort of are thinking and communicating to our bodies, I find is really the beginning of our sexual journey with plants. When you, for example, like the tea plant, Camellia sinensis, there are varying kinds. We all know them, green tea, black tea, yellow tea, white tea, oolong, pu'er, so many different kinds of tea, but tea is naturally really high in L-theanine, which is going to help to elevate your serotonin and your dopamine production in the brain. Mm-hmm. And that is going to, in turn, help to stabilize your emotions, enhance your concentration, help with mental alertness, your energy levels. All of those things are going to really help you when you're trying to be sexual, when you are getting into that groove. I mean, there's so many different chemical compounds found in varying medicinal plants in general, but really I feel like for me with plants, why I've really fallen into this aphrodisiac space is that I find a lot of times the pleasure sensors are people, unfortunately, I find when they think of sensuality and pleasure, they think of sex, mm-hmm. which can be a wonderful thing to have those all piled together. But then if that's all it is, where's the sensual pleasure in the rest of your day? So given something like Damiana is another really wonderful herb, but it's not just about aphrodisiac. It's not just about, you know, elevating your sensual pleasures. It is also about opening up your breathing, which in turn connects you stronger to your body, which in turn connects you stronger to the people around you. It elevates you to a place where you're able to connect higher to that energetic source and then pull in. I mean, oxygen is everything. It's why we are able to be sensual creatures. So the brain, I guess, yeah. I mean, I could go on and on.
No, well, and what you're saying, I was just reading this and I come as you are. I cannot, you know, I've talked about this with both of you, this book by Emily Nagoski. She was just talking about how think of like this brain or this, you know, system or whatever in your body as being a flock of birds or a flock of flamingos. And if one thing is off, so her example was sometimes socks can make for a better sexual experience. People actually naturally have cold feet. So when you put the socks on, you're not thinking about your cold feet anymore and you're tuning into the pleasure.
I love that.
Yeah, there's research there. So it's kind of like what you're saying with what a plant can do is get you aligned with that pleasure, like whatever you want to call it, align yourself with all the pleasure that's possible for you.
Yeah. Well, and you know, another thing that's coming to mind when you're talking about, you know, we're talking about the alignment is opening up our chakras and, you know, getting that energetic flow going all the way up through our core. Plants can do that as well. Breath work can do that as well. So integrating those things, yeah, it's pretty potent. It really goes down to our cores.
Yeah, it's so important to think about all these opportunities for sensuality outside of just like getting an orgasm through very like robotic ways of getting there, which an orgasm doesn't have to be the end all. We've talked about this on the podcast before, you know? So that's beautiful. That's a great way of thinking about how, you know, that intersection happens. So you mentioned Damiana, like what are some plants, like I know about Damiana because I've worked in the plant world for a little bit. What are some plants that you could speak to that might be, I don't want to say the word amateur, but just people who don't work in the plant world, what are some plants they could look into for sensual experience?
So this is really tricky. I'm going to be completely honest right now. There's going to be some hard time getting a hold of a lot of these plants that I would love to talk about, which is also why I think it's fun to discuss things that we just naturally have around us. Mm-hmm. But I would say, you know, yohimbe is going to be something that is specific to male energy. It's also known as herbal Viagra. It's a native to West Africa and is really helpful at sustaining an erection, at getting an erection. It's also helpful for depression though, which can be something that deters us from feeling into our sensual nature. So I think that yohimbe is a pretty cool thing to work with and it's pretty delicious. It's a bark, so it feels accessible when you're drinking and it doesn't feel super crazy in your mouth. So that's one thing. Something that, depending on the area of the world that you live in, oats grow naturally and wild a lot of places. Where we are in Maryland, there's wild oats growing. And oats are a nervine and are going to help balance our stress levels, which also in turn will, you know, regulate those senses and sensual pleasures again. I would say that of everything right now, something that I feel like we all need a little bit more of would be rose. Having that deep compassion for each other and for ourselves, during this time because there's so much that feels out of our control. And the reality is that everything's out of our control, right? But we like to think we have a little bit of a lead on things sometimes. Yeah, I would say rose. Rose is going to be something that a lot of people will even have in their garden. Now, if you're going to be taking a plant from your garden, offering, you know, a small thank you of gratitude to the plant, not harvesting from somewhere that you know is sprayed with a bunch of pesticides, or if you've only got one rosebud blooming on your bush, maybe it's better to leave it and let the plant maintain that energy force, versus if you're lucky enough to have 30 buds blooming on your bush, knowing how much to take, listening to the plant, not overdoing it. And really, I'm working on another project with someone, and it's all about gardening and being present in your garden and healing through nature. And really, there's something very lovely about when we receive from nature and when we give back to nature. Yeah. We're healing ourselves. Nature's healing. We're healing ourselves. Nature's healing. There's this lovely, energetic give and receive process that's really, really nice. So just even sitting with that rose bush at that point, if you're not going to be taking from it, you will receive if you are present, and you will receive what you need. Most of the time, you will be surprised at what you receive. But that's like a nice, easy place to sort of start. And then one thing that keeps popping in my head right now, everybody has rosemary, whether it's a dry form or it's out in their garden growing. Rosemary is so lovely and so potent in its protective qualities. It's going to be helpful at bringing light where there's darkness. So sort of feeling into those bright and sunny places has a very, very sunny energetic presence. And it's a delicious tea. It's all about just getting it right and feeling into it. So playing with the herbs in our medicine cabinets or our kitchen cabinets, so to speak, there's a lot of really fun things that we can find and feel into our sensuality there as well. Kitchen spices were some of the very first things in medicine cabinets because they're things we have and have had access to for centuries. So thinking on that, sensuality in itself is so present in cooking. It's all about the sensuality, the smell, the taste, the way it makes your body feel. So there's a lot. There's so many.
Yes. And we talk about sensuality on this podcast all the time, and not being, you know, the umbrella. We can look at the umbrella as pleasure, and then we can see sensuality and sexuality underneath this umbrella, right? Or sensuality or pleasure as the umbrella. I wanted to ask though, Lauren, so thinking in terms of like, if someone can just go into their spices cabinet, how would they create a tea from that? Do they literally just sprinkle it into some hot water?
So to give you a super simple way of doing it, yes, you can just sprinkle it into hot water. I would say if you have either a mortar and pestle or a rolling pin at home, that you can crush some of the harder things. Like if you have a cinnamon stick, you could just put the whole cinnamon stick in water and see what the experience brings. A whole cinnamon stick is going to be a strong experience, but it will be fine. Things like nutmeg. Nutmeg is going to do wild things to your body and to your senses. It's a wonderful thing to experience, but you're not going to want to put a whole pot into a cup of water. You're going to want to either shave it with a lemon peel grater, or if you don't have something like that, you could try a cheese grater. Rosemary, I would say just put like a stem. If you have like a full stem, put a full stem in water and let it sit for a few minutes. The basic method for brewing tea, there's going to be people out there that disagree with me right now. You will find your favorite method of brewing tea. But for this, to keep things simple for you, when you're going to your kitchen cabinet, when you first open your cabinet, take a look and see what really calls out to you. Because that is a way that plant medicine tries to communicate with us just instinctually. So I'm at my medicine cabinet, my kitchen cabinet of medicinal herbs right now, my cooking spices, whatever you want to call it. And coriander is popping out to me. Taking my coriander, coriander can come in a powder form, and that's totally fine to put into hot water directly. Or if you have seeds, taking a rolling pin or a mortar and pestle and crushing them just slightly so that they burst open. The more surface area that it has, the more that plant energy and plant medicine will infuse into the water. Add it to your teacup. A little bit of sediment will naturally just float down to the bottom of the surface. And once that's happened, your tea is ready. If it tends to float on the top, that's fine too. Just try to push it aside. If you have an infuser at home, put your tea or your kitchen spice into the infuser instead, and that will stop the sediment from getting into the throat and possibly causing an irritation of some kind. My favorite way of blending, if you want to get in the mood with mixing things together, is I've got my coriander. Give it a smell, hold it against your heart, and listen to what it's saying to you, how it's calling to you. Maybe you remember a memory, and within that memory, there's cinnamon, we're just going to say. Within that memory, there's cinnamon, and you're not quite sure why that happened, but reach for the cinnamon. Put a little bit of those together. Another fun way to play with blending is to smell your coriander and then introduce another smell to see how they smell together. Does it brighten it? Does it give it an added layer? Does it make it feel more pronounced for you energetically? Just really digging in and listening to your smell, your sight. So again, it might just look beautiful. That might be the only reason that you're adding it to your blend. Blending doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be demanding even. You can create the most beautiful magic in a cup of tea just by being present with what your body has to tell you through your senses and what the plant has to tell you, again, through your senses. It's so simple. And I think it's something that a lot of people have forgotten how to do. And right now, especially, I feel like we're relearning and relearning in so many ways.
Yeah, it's the time. That's what I wanted to have you on my podcast for a couple months now, but then thinking about it this morning, I was like, you know what? This is a brilliant time to have Lauren on because we are connecting. You know, I think a lot of us need that medicinal nature right now. And we're going outside and taking deep breaths and trying to be present. And so what better way to kind of deepen that than to play with the plants, you know? And not even a distraction because you're still grounded into presence. It's more how can I soothe myself during this time?
Absolutely. I mean, the world is all around us trying to communicate and say, come back to nature, come back to nature, recognize nature. Our ancestors, and what I mean by ancestors is those that came before us, whether it's our grandparents or our great-grandparents or people that were the beginning of humanity, they knew how to connect to nature because it was up to them to survive in it. And we are so blessed that we have these tools and technological advances to not have to rely on our senses the same way, but it doesn't mean that we should make them any less important. And I think that it's really bittersweet, I guess, that right now it's that kind of wake-up call that a lot of people are, okay, I've got to start thinking about the bigger picture, what's going to happen here. And plants really are a wonderful, simple way to just sit and connect, whether it's through gardening, through plant study, through wild harvesting, through just listening to the birds. You really just need to be present. Something that I want to just kind of throw in here.
Yeah.
When it comes to wild harvesting and knowing the plants around us, it's really important that we keep in mind safety. Yeah. There are a number of wild harvest groups in the area and classes on safe foraging and safe harvesting practices and even plant identification. So making sure that you're not just going out and grabbing just anything because there are toxins in a lot of the plants in the world. So just making sure that safety is a big part of your sensual journey, responsible choices are always important. So I have to say that.
Yeah, great point. I'm glad you did. Yeah, we need that warning. Yeah. So just do your research, y'all. If you find an interesting looking plant out there, you know, look up what it is first before ingesting it.
Foxhaven Learning Center, they also do a lot of really wonderful medicinal plant foraging workshops. So that's just something else to note. They're in the area if you're local.
Cool. I'll put that in the show notes for people as a resource. Mm-hmm. So thank you for answering all those questions, Lauren, and for sharing your wisdom. We have a quick listener question. If you don't mind giving your input, this person was wondering, during this time, my anxiety is high, understandable, and I'm having a hard time connecting to myself in my physical body. So any tips on that? Do you want to start?
Yeah.
What's one way you can connect with your body to ground yourself?
Absolutely. My number one grounding technique would be, and suggestion for anyone right now, would be to get your feet in the grass or in the dirt. Take off your socks, take off your shoes, really like go out somewhere. It can be, you know, the curb of your yard. It can be a park. It can be anywhere. Giving yourself a moment to really put your toes, your literal toes, on the earth so that you can then feed into that energy. The earth is called the ground for a reason. When we put our feet on the ground, we naturally resonate and are able to gain that sort of energetic transference of grounding and of peacefulness and of being at one with ourselves. As far as herbs for grounding, I would suggest anything root related. So dandelion root is something that's very accessible, as long as, again, when you're harvesting it from your yard, do not pull it up where you've sprayed Roundup or you know your neighbor has. Don't do that to yourself. Dandelion root, you can drink fresh, you can drink it roasted. You can, my husband and I have roasted it in our toaster oven before. It's a really fun little exercise. It just gives it a nice little oomph of sort of flavor. Otherwise, it can be a little bitter. But anything root related, also mushrooms, medicinal mushrooms. I'm drinking a cup right now of chaga mushroom and damiana and, a little ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is a root, but it's also fantastic for stress relief. Anything adaptogen related, that's a big word out there right now. And adaptogens really just help our body to process and regulate stress and work through it and find ways to move through the stress, not fight against it, but move through it. So I would say those would be my primary things with grounding and stress relief, but also like within the medicinal mushrooms, they're going to be really wonderful for a number of immune system building things right now, stress relief, cognitive awareness. And I would say chamomile and lavender are always lovely and they seem to be around us. So those are easy things as well.
Beautiful. Yeah. And then I would say, you know, for me lately, the best thing I've done for myself is, you know, and I have the privilege that I'm living at home right now. So I have a little more time. Like I don't have to work, you know, steadily 9 to 5. But what I've done then in that case is literally just checked in like every hour. I'm like, what do I want to do now? And then sometimes I switch it up. Sometimes I keep writing. Sometimes I dance. Sometimes I play music. Like I take a second, listen to myself, and literally it'll bubble up. Like right now I want some ice cream. And so then I go and eat ice cream. Like I seriously just allow anything I want to do it.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that you're bringing up a really nice point. Right now, our bodies are trying to tell us the things that we'll find comfort in. Our minds are trying to do that. Our senses are trying to do that. So the things that we find comfort in, that's going to be a very individualized experience and one that is so sensual.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You really do tune into your sensuality the moment you allow yourself to do the things you want to do.
Yeah.
So between those wonderful recommendations from Lauren and from, you know, what I just said, I hope that helps, Scarlett. Just know we're all in this together. And again, I think all of us are sending you lots of healing vibes.
Absolutely.
So Lauren, at the end of this episode, I always love to get a shout out to something that's been giving me pleasure recently. I call it Pause for Pleasure. I danced yesterday and I've been dancing to Doja Cat. Just love her. She's really like, just like funky, but I like her. She's just very powerful. So I've been stepping into her power a lot. That's been giving me pleasure. What about you?
I'm not an artist in the sense that I am not good at drawing. I'm not good at painting, but I like to try.
Yeah.
one thing that I've been finding really nice is I've been making rubber stamps. I've made a few before, but like I don't have it in here, or I'd show you. But I'm trying to get better at being patient with it. That's what I'm trying to take pleasure in, because a lot of times I'm like, you're going to be done today. Like carving out this little brick so that I have this beautiful stamp, but I'm trying really hard as I go into this next one to like really find pleasure in the subtlety of the stroke that you make to create the stamp and appreciate the calmness that can come with it.
You're very much pausing for pleasure.
So I'm not very good at sitting still. I like to be moving around and keeping my hands and my head busy. So
Sagittarius.
What?
Sagittarius, right?
No, Cancer. I have Sagittarius in
your moon, I think, or rising.
Maybe it's my rising. I think it's my rising. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm a Virgo moon.
Okay. We'll do a sex and astrology episode soon, Scarlett. Okay, so that was absolutely wonderful. Lauren, where can people find you? By the way, quick plug, if I may, Lauren makes this thing called Passion Balm. She sells it. It is wonderful for the whole body. Love wearing Lauren's plant creations. So Lauren, where can people find you?
My website, fruitstotheroots.com, and it's definitely, there's an S on fruits, there's an S on roots, so fruitstotheroots.com. And then on social media, I don't do a lot with Facebook these days. I don't find pleasure in it.
Yeah.
So social media wise, I am on Instagram at fruitstotheroots, but again, I do a lot more in stories than I do posting, just because it's sort of moment to moment, and I don't want it to always be about my products. I don't want it to always be about one thing. So whatever's happening that day, you're probably going to hear something.
Yeah. Yes. Lauren has a lovely Instagram. I love following her. thank you so much, Lauren, for being here today. Oh, well, first, you can always find me, Scarlett, at Mary Adele, that's 2 L's and Adele, _ sex educator on Instagram. I'm like Lauren, I'm very active on Instagram. Email me with questions. We love answering your questions on these episodes. So info@maryadele.com. Also, of course, follow Dragon Digital Radio on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and be sure to check out their awesome podcasts on dragondigitalradio.podbean.com. Don't forget to comment, rate, and share. Thank you to Dragon Digital Radio for accommodating us today, because, you know, despite having to stay at home, here we are recording. So we really appreciate being able to share this space with you and everyone. And Lauren, yes, love you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have you on in a follow-up episode when we can go outside more, or like we can buy different herbs and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because right now even my stock is dwindling. Oh. And I'm going, oh my gosh. Like support your local co-ops, support your local herb shops right now. A lot of those are doing online and even some delivering. So depending on where you are, find your local stores, support them right now, especially they need your help more than ever.
It's important. Yeah, thank you. And Scarlett's, you know, seek pleasure, take care of yourselves. We'll be back with another episode real soon. And yeah, talk to you all soon. Thank you.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.